podcast. Killer Keller official. .com.
Instagram UK frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Hold tight to our people's graffiti kings. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Keller podcast. Serves you right. Back effect, how's that? Yeah. Waking up nice and early. Central London, or as central as you need to be. On a graph tip, what we like to do is bring in some of the dons in the game. And if you haven't subscribed and you don't know about this anytime soon, now's the time to get to know, because inside the ride, I have one of my favourites, the man like Vence.
Big up.
Yeah, how are you? AKA. Have you guessed what it is yet? If you're not watching and you're listening, then we're privy to the Homer Simpson mask.
The fat old man, yeah, the cartoon.
Was this one of those, it was a good idea at the time?
I feel like it's pretty, these days it's pretty similar for me, do you know what I mean? Just complaining about stuff and probably just going, don't a lot. Yeah, that's about me, really.
Don't!
Might as well smack my head on stuff because I'm pretty tall.
Yeah, can you see in that?
I can see the salt in the egg, so I'm happy.
Yeah, very good. Vence, hailing from Bristol.
Yeah, I'm a London original, but I say original like I'm some OG. No, just outside London, but yeah, I'm living down in the southwest these days, out in the countryside.
Any particular reason for that?
I went from loving being out in the city every day and going out, just getting on it every night, and then becoming a grown-up and realising that actually I need to sort my life out, and now I've become a hermit and love walking my dog in the countryside and in the fields and want to be as far away from other people as possible, really. I'm a bit of a hermit, I'm afraid.
I feel that. And you know what? I think when I think of Vence and your artwork, because it really does translate across... I've got so many questions, got so many conversations I want to have with you. But there is a real kind of playful... there's a playfulness to your graph. It's like it's a real nice, it just feels like completely at peace.
Do you know what? It's
do you know funny, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like to have fun when I'm painting, no matter what I'm painting.
Yeah.
I work painting, I paint commission work all day, every day. That's what pays the bills. So I might spend the whole week doing, you know, like typography, sign writing, yeah, photorealism. Like, I paint all that stuff, but when it comes to my graph and my illustration, like I don't want to spend, you know, however many hours sitting there getting upset because I've got a drip or a line's not straight. Like, graph should be fun, do you know what I mean? Like, that's why we got into it in the first place, to enjoy ourselves. Like, no matter what you're painting, like, you know, if you're on a time frame and it's dark, or you're sat at your local Hall of Fame, like, either way, you need to be having fun with it.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
I like the playful side of like old cartoons and stuff. Like, I think, you know, that sort of like silly, like, bobbly characters and stuff. Like, that's what it's all about.
Bro, I mean, we'll get into the details of your style. But one thing that I really, like, get a vibe off is, like, the people that, like, champion your work, they really love your work. Like, and we're not talking about, like, just, like, kind of graph heads like me that sit vicariously on the fence, like, seeing awesome shit. We're talking about, like, bona fide, like, upwriters. They're like, oh yeah, Vence is done. Vence is dope. Like, it's crazy. I think you touch like a, I think with your work you touch a nostalgia in people, that it's like your lane is your lane.
That's really good to hear, man. I guess most of the stuff that I paint, like, I try not to have like actual graph in my illustrations. Like, most of my illustrations are based on that feeling, that moment. Like, like, if you're a writer, I could say that the only thing, every person that's ever started painting graph or even sketching graph has probably at some point drawn a picture with their name and then a picture of a train next to it. So every writer can relate to it in some way or another, whether you're out, you know, smashing a steel or whether you just sat at home sketching in your black book. Like, everyone likes cartoons. We all, give or take, everyone likes a good character. So it's kind of fun.
And
keeping that, like, I'm not trying to appeal to, you know, certain writers or this or that. I just want to, I draw pictures of trains, whether anyone looked at them or not. I've always done that. I got really into that sort of stuff, and that's just what I love doing.
Yeah, you said it. You said before VT, you know, you, which struck with me, like with Graf and doing like Wild Styles or Letters, there's a critique that's laid on that, you know, like people, every man and his dog can look at a piece of style writing and they'll have their own impression of it. And it's like, no, I don't like that. It's far more up for critique, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like I say, you paint like whatever style of graph you're into. Like for me personally, like 1970s, 80s New York graph is where it's at. But that doesn't mean to say that that's the genre of graph that you should be into. Like you can paint whatever you want. You can paint 2D wild style. You can paint mad 3D. You can paint photorealism. Mm. Like, but everyone's going to have their own opinions of that. So if you spend all day painting with Astro caps, other writers you paint with a stop cap and a can of mulch or whatever, they're going to go, oh, I don't really like that. It's like, I appreciate every type of graph. It might not be my cup of tea, but
yeah,
personally, like, I think that's why I probably put up less graph these days than anything else, because I'm not, you know, I like what I like when it comes to my graph, and I'd just rather keep that for myself. I paint for my crew and for my friends, and that's it. I don't really bother about, if you like it, you like it. Well, that's grand. Yeah. But, you know, my illustrations, I hope, they kind of cross over, like, all that, and everyone can appreciate them. Hope anyway.
Yeah, Liz, well, enough of the suspense. All right, for those of you who don't know Vents's stuff, V-E-N-T-S, right? And if you check out his page, right, the design work, that the illustration of it, it kind of falls back into like the late 70s, like you say, American Fritz Cat.
Oh, I mean, yeah, so Robert Crumb and then Ralph Bakshi kind of took on that vibe, and which is ironic because he...
Is that a compliment? It's,
yeah, so for me, like the whole ethos of my drawings, as I say, I was mad into trains since I was a little kid. I was a train spotter, go with my old man, go spots and take photos of trains, go into when there's like Old Oak Common Yard and East Yard, my dad would get me in and we'd get photos of trains and I was just a proper geek when it came to trains. And I watched loads of cartoons. And so for me, the way they used to do cartoons before digital animation, everything was hand-drawn, so all the characters were like the simplest amount of lines to create a shape because that had to be replicated.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that all the characters are very 2D, very simple.
Yeah.
They're not too tech. And then they used to do these mad, like, painted backgrounds that they used to put in for all the cartoons, you know, like fully brushed.
That like used rendered. To be... that. You know who used to do that as well? You know the front covers of Asterix books?
Man, yeah.
I used to bug off that. I was like, that looked like a... It looked like a well-painted holiday postcard, and then they would just have this, like, crazy, like, cartoon
on dropped it. Over the top. Yeah, loved so that, it. That's the whole thing. So even, like, down to, like, 2000 AD cartoons and comics, used to get them, and the inside cover, also the cover would be, like, fully coloured, and then the inside centrefold would be, like, this mad painting.
Yeah.
And then everything else was super simple, and I really liked that. Like, I did technical drawing as part of my, my like, art school and stuff, and I really liked the idea that the backgrounds are really detailed and then the characters are just loose and like kind of bumbling over the top and falling about and trying to get that motion and that movement. And it's funny, like my wife said to me, she's like, oh, I can't remember what I was wearing the other day, and she's like, you look like one of your characters. And I was like, to be fair, like my characters are basically just extensions, they are me.
Yeah,
they're just like stupid versions of me. They're all like, they're all reworked, they're just like that sort of formulaic 1960s cartoon. Like the way the hands and the arms and the legs moved and sort of bouncy, floppy, like,
yeah,
I don't know, even from like Fleischer Studios, like all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But for me, that stuff was where it was at when it came to drawing. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get better than some of those like original cartoons, the level of detail they went into.
Yeah. Did you like the Disney illustrations, like the old school Disney?
Yeah, old school Disney, yeah, absolutely. Even through to like something like Fantasia, where it's just incredible, really. I mean,
have you heard of Rick Markey? The animator and illustrator. I'm going to show you some books on him. I've got some in the cupboard, bro. Like he did a lot of the Beauty and the Beast and stuff like that. But you can almost tell his style.
Okay.
It's just crazy. Like he's into super sketchy kind of stuff when it comes to his doodling. I think he's really
mad. Sorry, I've got these books on the way they design the characters a lot of the time, and the way that they used to sketch the hands out, like, you know, sort of five or six different ways.
Bro.
You think now you can tween everything on a digital illustration, they just make it move, whereas before they used to draw every single way it would move. And that for me is like, that's just incredible, like the time frame involved in doing that sort of thing, and you know,
Bro, I have the same thing. I know where you're coming from, because I have the same thing with old school graph as well, as I'm sure a lot of people will. I have the same thing with animation, more so animation, and that's like, it depreciates as technology moves forward. And it's like, don't underestimate how awesome, like, a Friz Freleng, like Hanna-Barbera, like, cartoon is, and like, how much time that shit took.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, they spend years doing stuff now. They spend like Pixar and all that. It's incredible, but.
Yeah.
For me, like, digital illustration or digital anything, like CGI, I'm not a fan of anything like that. Like, for me, I'd rather watch Jason the Argonauts than watch, like, Avatar. Do you know what I mean? Like, stop motion and everything.
For,
like,
for the craftsmanship.
Just the way it's done. Your hand done everything. I'm a champion of that. But, like, that, I'm really, like, passionate about hand-finished artwork. Yeah. Like, the imperfections are what makes something beautiful. Mm. I think that goes through to graph, like, you know, you can spend hours making something look amazing and cut everything back and all these crazy techniques and feels, but if you can strip it back to being super loose and super fun, like, you know, you do your outline, it doesn't meet your feel or whatever, well, whatever, that's graph, that's what it is. It's like, it's fun.
Are you a fan of like Rain Man and Toaster and those cats that are using?
Yeah, Rain Man, man, like top guy. Beautiful graffiti, like absolutely stunning. But then it's got that essence, that funk, that flow, the characters, like everything in there.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, the way that guy puts his walls together and, you know, untold amount of stuff that he did back in the day as well. It's just incredible. Like,
it's super cool, isn't it? Yeah. You don't feel like you want to pursue the writing side of it, of graph?
To me, I paint graph for fun, just for me. Like, I take a lot of film photos, I guess not because I want to be like hipster and cool, which is probably the way I work in Shoreditch, and that's kind of what's going on. But
installing into your mind.
Just all my mates take film shots, and you go out, and they've always got these wicked flicks. And I lost all my photos of everything before 2005 because I wrecked my computer, and that was the end of like every photo, even of my whole life. So
gutted.
I like to have something in print now, and I like having photos of graph, you know, whatever it is I'm painting, whatever. I like to have that, but I don't really bother. That's for me. Mm. And like, I like to, a lot of the guys that I chat to, and, you know, we've got the good old WhatsApp groups where you send photos to each other from dudes all around the world, and I see stuff that absolutely blows me away, and it's stuff that never goes online. And you look at these like old New York masters, and they never show anyone even their black books, like nothing, you know, and that's
it, really, like,
keeping
cool,
that guarded.
Yeah.
But it's cool to explain and show what you're doing and talk about it. But at the same rate, having that slight like secrecy, you know, it's not about being a bad man, right? That's not showing their flicks. It's just, I just like to have that stuff. I paint for me. So if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you know, whatever it's like.
Bro, I think I have that same, if I was to get into graph, like, and do it, I would, a part of me that's at least for the first like year or two would almost be too shy to, you know, tell the world, because it's just like, I need to get this shit right before anybody's. But the other side of it as well is like, I like the Daft Punk anonymity.
Yeah.
I like the hiding of that, and this is my shit. You know, that's what I like, you know?
I think that's the thing. It says me sat here in a mask, but I think that's because like, I guess people have preconceptions about what someone's like by what they look like, and
you know, that's stupid.
But you're like, for me personally, like me as an artist, and then Vence are like two different people. Like Vence is just this like silly, playful inner child of me, and I just draw pictures. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's like I'm trying to show when I do my artwork. Like so, you know, I'm not got a mask on because I'm like, oh, you know, you're hiding away as a bad man.
So he looks extremely attractive, ladies. Yeah, believe me.
I'm not interested in me. You know, I'm just this like big fat Homer Simpson geezer. So that's cool, you know.
What do you mean? That is only you, isn't it? What's going on?
It's not actually a mask. Yeah. It's just
but I do want to get into your inner workings. Excuse the phrasing. In terms of like your technique and style, can we get into like what pens you use?
For sure.
Because this stuff is just like, I don't know how you get your, that, you know, the purity and the colours and shit. Do you know what I mean?
It's mad. Like, I use alcohol markers.
Right.
I get asked that all the time, like, oh, what pens do you use for this and that? And it's like, I'm not that fussy about what pens I use.
Mm.
Like Montana sent me some stuff, Starfire sent me some stuff, and they've all got these really cool things. I just, like, as long as it bleeds really well. Yeah. I remember looking at like photos of old sort of 70s and 80s graph sketches, and they had these wicked, like, the alcohol
was sick, bro. Like,
I want to say like Chow Pack, but I can't think of the name of these markers they used to use. And then they have like a thin black outline over the top, and it just looks sick. You know what I mean? Like, you look at all those sketches that Lee did back in the day, those full pages, and just incredible, man. And so for me, like, I like to have that bleed. I started out doing loads of like kind of just graph sketches and trying to have that loose funk with it, and looking at various black books, even dudes from London like Shoom, man, that guy's black books, if you know Shoom's work, like, just incredible. Like, back on, like, I remember seeing it on like Photolog or Flickr years ago, and it was just seeing black books like that, even dudes like Met and stuff, just blew me away, man. And so I wanted to have that kind of...
Damn, I bet a Met black book's sick.
yeah. Like, I've got a page in one of my books that he did for Robbo, and it's just, I mean, I'm a gunner, so... it was like a big Arsenal page with Robbo and stuff, and I didn't even know it was in there, man. And then I saw it, and I was just like, "Whoa, what's going on here? This is crazy." So just,
head blown.
Just appreciate like sketching in general. Like, I've always had a sketchbook since I was a little kid, so I think like when you paint, especially, like, don't get me wrong, it's difficult if you've been doing certain things. You don't want to have, like, you need to keep your house clean, but man, I've like got adult responsibilities these days. I haven't got to worry about that too much. So it's kind of like having nice sketches and spending time in a book drawing. Like, I draw so much stuff that doesn't even go online. Do you know?
And that doesn't bother you?
No, not because I draw it for me. Like, I still draw my train illustrations. Like, all the ones I put up are for people, because people have messaged me and said, "Dude, can you do this for me? Would you do that for me?" And it's like, yeah, man, I'd love to. Like, so, you know,
I love
commissioned
that
for stuff, and that's wicked. And I get to do... People have messaged me, and it's like a system I've never seen, or, you know, and they send me these flicks, and I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's mad, man."
Can I ask you, before we get onto that, I definitely want to get into this, you're going somewhere and I want to follow it, but when you're doing like this is the naivety for anyone that doesn't know the process, if you're using alcohol markers, do you still do the same process as you'll do the fill in first, then do the outline?
Yeah, so for me, yeah, kind of going back to that, it depends. Like, I outline everything pretty much with a Molitor 227. So they're like the little markers, the paint pens.
Yeah.
And I use the extra fine ones with the plastic tip. Because the alcohol, a lot of the ones, I use Spectrum Noir markers, and they, even if you put like a Sharpie or something over them, two or three days after you've done it, it still bleeds it out.
Really?
So I use the paint pens because it sits on the top and it doesn't bleed them.
That's
so
fucked.
So I lay it all down, technical pencil, get all the perspective and everything right, and then I draw the trains in first, and then I draw the characters depending on how I want it to look, unless someone sent me a specific photo, because some dudes send me photos and they're like, "I want you to do this," or if it's a yard or a space that I know, I'm like, "All right, cool, I'll do my own version of that." And then I'd lay it down with a tech pencil, all the colors, try and bleed everything together, make it all look, I'm trying to get more and more detail in it without blowing out
too
I don't want to try and go into like a photorealism for trains. I kind of like to do that on canvas, but not for illustrations. I want to keep it still an illustration.
Yeah.
But I've started getting some of the Staedtler pens that have got, like, you've got dark greys and dark browns and stuff, and then so I can outline some of the fences and stuff. It's still outlined, but it's outlined in a different colour rather than just black.
That's one thing that I noticed about your stuff. It's the perspective of everything. It does look like an illustration, but there's there's awesome perspective.
I spent quite a few years studying technical drawing and draftsmanship, so... Like, I did a lot of that sort of stuff towards, like, design work, like, back in the day. So I've always been really into like, detail, and I guess it's almost like a sort of ADD kind of, like, got all OCD, should I say, like, got to really get into it, and I'm just like, right, that's not quite right. And I still look at them now, and I'm like, I'll take a photo when it's finished, and I'm like, oh, man, maybe the track should have been a tiny bit lower there, or something should be in a different way, as long as all the perspective lines up, but... Yeah. It's the same with any drawing, man. You're always going to look at it and go, "Oh, well, I could have changed that," and then the next one, I'll take that on and on.
Yeah, it's all hindsight, isn't it? Because once you've done it, it's there. You know, you're not using a laptop or... You know.
yeah. So, I mean, to a certain extent, like, if someone's sent me a flick or someone's got a certain train, I don't know what it is, I sometimes make a mock-up on Photoshop. I'll just drop everything together to see how I want it to look. Like, if they said, "Right, I want this element or this element or this element in it." Like, so it's... Some of my drawings... like their exact spots. And so people, you know, it's kind of like that geekery, like you might know where it is, you'll know where it's from.
Yeah.
And other things, it's all different elements. So I just did a drawing as big as A1, and it was for Montana, and it was like a Barcelona subway. Now, it was based on like four different images. It wasn't one specific spot. It was like four different spots kind of molded into one. And then all elements from like Barcelona. So there's like the little like Barcelona character from the Olympics, and there's like the OG paint before it was Montana, it was like Felton and all these mad like little things that are just in there. They're like the local bit, you know, it's Australia and all that sort of stuff. So all my drawings have got like something referenced to not only the city but to the dudes who are painting in that city and so on. So
that's fun. Yeah, and that's sick because some of the, I guess it depends on the commission and who it's for, but I've seen like you've tagged the train within the picture as well, which is just such a, it's just such a great look. It's just like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the idea is I try not to put graph on the actual trains unless someone specific is for someone and they're like, oh, I want a piece on it or whatever. Right. Like, there'll always be little tags in it because I kind of like, I like the sort of buffed look of like trains that had, they look like they've been lived in and used, whether the graph's been cleaned or not. Do you know what I mean? Like, clean graph, most graph's temporary and it will get buffed, but I like that kind of like faded out, like little tags and stuff in the background. And like that was, you know, when we were kids doing insides in the slam doors, you know what I mean? They'd get buffed or you get like scratches on the little like windows and stuff. And yeah, that's cool. I think it makes it look like someone's used it, like all these new plastic ugly trains that they've got running everywhere. And it's just like they've got no life to them. They're all perfectly mint clean, which, don't get me wrong, if you're rolling around a city and you're like, little old lady, you want to sit on a nice clean train and not feel like, I don't know, somewhat intimidated. But at the same rate, there's a beauty to that, like horrible, dirty, grimy, like...
Yeah.
Battered out trains. There's something lovely about that.
There really is. And I think, like you were saying, the old school paints, you know, with the stock caps and that, there's something even more, not innocent, but again, nostalgic, throws back. Like when you see a shutter or you see, the inside of a toilet door of an old, like, slam shut or whatever.
Yeah.
The fact that they're bombed out in a certain way and the ink's a certain way, the paint will be certain.
Yeah, I think, like, for me, that's kind of important. Like, as well, like my colour palette, I use like really old colours. I like everything to be like quite traditional. I want it to be the, I guess like the essence of painting without painting. Like, you know what's going on, but even if you're like a train spotter or something, you might look at it. Like, I did some shirts for a lad and they were just like freight trains and he was selling them to like train spotters because they didn't have any graph in them. They were just kind of like freight trains with like characters. And it's kind of... Yeah, I want it to still have that. You look at it and you know what's going on. But it's implied, but there's nothing actually happening.
Totally, bro. Like, I think your colours, that's an interesting point. There's like a real kind of, these are like sepia tones. Again, they got that 70s kind of decay look. It's weird. It's weird to kind of...
I know, it's difficult. I mean, I've got a certain palette, like my graph is as well as all in one palette, and I know when I'm painting, and the boys are always just like, oh, yeah, that's Spencer's colours. Like,
yeah.
I'll always take the dirty, like, horrible ones, but I kind of like that. Like, I don't know, I guess because I try and paint like that sort of old New York style, I think it looks a bit weird if it's done in, like, bright pinks and bright purples. It doesn't really fit. Don't get me wrong, I've got... boys that I paint with every day who do amazing stuff like that, like BRK, and he just blasts out the mad colours and it just looks incredible. And then I try and I'm just like a failed bite of his, do you know what I mean?
So. No, I feel that. Like, there's definitely, like, I mean, translating what you do from page to wall, like, on both sides of the fence, there's a lot of R&D that's gone into this. but there is, in its heart, the style's there. Tizer ID, like me and Darz were having a chat about this, and like Tizer, he's you can put him to anything and his style's just there.
Man, yeah, he's a super accomplished artist. Like, I can't really describe Tizer's style in terms of, because he can turn his hand to anything. Yeah, you give him a topic and he's going to drop a character that goes with a piece.
Right.
And from one piece to the next, they look totally different. But it's coherent. It doesn't have to say Tizer. You know that that's a Tizer piece.
No, it's just crazy. But I would imagine that's probably the same with you.
I guess it's weird because I sketch all the time, like in my free time or when I'm sat on a train going somewhere for work or, you know, a bit of free time in the evening. Like, So I might have a sketch and then I'll do 20 more sketches and then I'll paint the next one. So there's a bit of a gap. Like, I think, I'd like to think there's some coherency to it. I hope it don't look too far apart.
Yeah, I'm talking more in respect to if you were to do like a blockbuster with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like yours would, in a very similar way to Tizer.
Yeah, I don't need to, I tend not to sign my work. Like I do stuff for work and I've designed it and I don't have to write on it. And people are like, oh yeah, I saw this. It looks like one of yours. It's like, oh yeah, that was my work. So
that's good.
Like, the only thing I'd say is my illustrations, like all the characters, within reason, don't get me wrong, some people ask for certain characters or stuff, so they will be taken directly from something, but they're all reworkings and like funky versions of old things, whereas when I paint graph, I do like to take characters, because I think that was the thing back in the day, it was like, oh, characters from popular culture, and I like to be a bit of a geek about it and take a character like from some commercial from the 60s, and it'll be like a background character. And I want people to go, oh, where's he got that from? And then have to go and look it up. And then, you know, you get like, I guess people will be like, oh, yeah, I saw you did this character. I've seen that character before. And I send me a photo of it. And I'm like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
So I like graph to be a character that's taken from somewhere, an illustration to be my own. Yeah. That makes sense.
Like, yeah, I do. And I'm a fan of the characters. Like, here's a reference I'd always use. I actually used it at some conference. I can't remember what it was, but when I used to beatbox in the live show, I would intentionally put an ironic kind of cover, routine. You know, Britney Spears, Slave for You, for an example. Now, it doesn't mean that I like Britney Spears, but it's just a simple creative model in which I worked where it's equivocal could be seen in graph. Like, if you've got a train, no matter how hard that piece is to understand, it's like beatboxing. You can do all the technical shit you want, and not a lot of people understand it. You can't always read what that graffiti writer's name is on the train. But if you do a cheap routine of something someone might well know as a beatbox routine, oh, that's Britney Spears' Slave. It's the equivocal of that massive piece is on a train, and there's Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So you're going to recognise that and be like, oh, okay, cool.
You give it kudos, you give it weight, you give it more value because people then can understand, oh, but that character's nice.
Yeah, yeah. But then that harps back to all the things, like I did a jam like years ago and there was loads of mad dudes there painting. And in fact, I was chatting to like Chem 5 from America, and he does this like crazy, you know, he goes all over the world painting these massive detailed pieces and, you know, like very sort of Hall of Fame, super polished, beautiful stuff. And little old lady was saying to me, she was like, I was drawing a picture of like some, basically what was around us, like wheelie bins and like cars and stuff. And she was like, oh, I really like this. It's like the art. I don't really like all this, like this lettering, but I like this. And it's just like, you know, talking to these dudes. And I was like, yeah sorry guys, like you've actually smashed it. And I'm just doing some random little nonsense. But then,
and obviously, you're the character guy. But I don't agree with her.
I just always end up being a background bitch for people. Do you know what I mean? Back when I used to paint characters and paint like pictures and drew like a lot of pictures of trains, like everyone's like, oh yeah, just put that on the end. That's cool. And then, someone else will paint and it's like the letters will get blasted out and the character or the train will get left and then someone else does it and someone else does it. And I guess that's like the turnover of whatever legal graph and. But that's nice that other writers will go, oh, I want that next to my piece. So, yeah. Whatever, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it is cool, man. Sometimes things can get really, like, heavy. I mean, you know who else does some really good characters? Diet.
Yeah.
I like his old-school look, and there's just a feel to his shit.
But yeah, I did like, Battle of Waterloo for the Chrome and Black thing, like a few years back.
Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
And I ended up painting next to Diet. And the worst part was that I chose to do like Penfold and Danger Mouse characters on my piece. And then next to me is Diet, who just absolutely smashes the
Penfold and
Danger Mouse characters. And I was like, I couldn't be next to anyone else. But luckily, he didn't paint Danger Mouse. He just smashed it with Felix the Cat and a couple of other bits. And I was like, yeah, fair play. That guy can just throw a character down no matter what it is. And it just, it always looks incredible. Do you know what I mean?
Moving on to what we were going to talk about a little while ago. You mentioned prior to recording as well that you're like a mad, like you probably geek out on trains. Like you're a train spotter since
I was a little kid, you know? And
which I think is just so fucking interesting. It's so interesting that that's the slant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I loved, like, I guess that's, it had nothing to do with graph. Like, I got into graph through skateboarding. But I do love trains and I'm properly into trains. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting at the end of the platform writing down numbers now. But when I was a little kid, like when I was six and stuff.
Maybe later,
yeah, man.
Maybe later, not now.
I was fully into that. Like, I'd have all the rail magazines and everything. And I still do now. I still like buy the odd one or two and I sit there and I go through them and I'm just like, oh, it's got a nice angle of that one. Like, I might draw that. And I've got like books and books of like old BR, like history books and like Southern Electric, and just I'm just mad into all that stuff. Like the 125s on the GWR line got taken out the other day, and like the day before I went to like Temple Mead Station, took a load of photos of some of the ones in operation because I knew they were dropping out of service. I think.
Oh, that is so cute,
I'm
dude.
Proper
that's
geek,
killer.
Right?
Yeah,
that's what I'm into. But
can I ask you a critical question? It could be a bit spicy. So, would you do you often prefer a train not to be hit by graph, or would you prefer a train to be clean?
Depends what it is, and like, that there's plenty of stuff that gets painted that, you know, fair play, that got done in this spot, you had like 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, and it's smashed it. But sometimes with certain trains, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, you've gone out there, you've battered it, and no disrespect to the lads doing it, because fair play, they've risked a lot to go do it. But at the same rate, I'm like, oh, I don't know, man, that train, I don't know if you could have got away with painting that. Like, I would have liked to have seen certain trains in Europe that get painted. And like, there's one in Switzerland, and my mate sent me a photo, and he was just like, oh, yeah, we were going to paint it, but then we just couldn't do it. And I was like, it's just this beautiful, like, old red Swiss train, like a royal train. It's just like, man, yeah, you can't paint that. It's just it's stunning. Like, there's, if it gets painted, it gets painted. Like, whatever, that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
for me personally, if I'm looking at what to do in the space, you're like, I'm not going to do that one because I like that train, you know? Mm. So, but, you know, I guess that's graph, isn't it? But yeah, for me personally, yeah, I'd prefer to see certain trains left alone, like, than battered, but whatever.
it's testament to your artwork. I can't imagine, like, you painting a train on a train. That would just be like, part incestuous and part fucked up.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be my thing. Like, characters is one thing, but picture, I'd always thought that that'd be quite a cool thing to do, but then the actual logistics of doing that in a time frame, like, I don't think that's, I guess it would probably be, when I was young, I always wanted to go into, like, the old slam doors and repaint, like, a Network Southeast one in, like, Connex colours or something. Just, I thought it'd be quite funny to do that sort of stuff. Then you've got dudes like Taps and Moses that do that now and absolutely cane it. And it's like, man, that would have been a cool idea years ago, but I'd never been able to do it like that anyway. So
yeah, you know what would be sick? If you was to do, right, inverted graph on a train, doesn't have to be an illegal one, but on the outside, the inside of the whole train. In your idealist, like, old school train, how you'd want it to be seen inside.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be pretty wicked. I remember I used to paint pictures of, like, insides and stuff as for fun anyway. I remember I went to the pit and everyone was doing all the letters, and then
you done it too.
I was background bitch, yeah, and I did the inside of a central with, like, the graph, my piece on the outside through the window. I don't think that's the sort of thing you can do illegally, or certainly not on panels in the UK now, but maybe freights is a bit of a different story, but
I guess I'm speaking to the converted. I'm sure there's not one thing you haven't considered or have done.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. Like, there's always these ideas you have, and then I don't know. I'm maybe a bit more of a purist when it comes to graph on trains. I like graph to be graph. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think the sort of the art side of things, like the illustrations and all that, I think that's what you need to do.
That's something else.
Yeah.
I get you.
I like painting in derelict spots in the middle of nowhere where no one's ever really going to see it, but I can have a bit of time to sit and paint something beautiful. I don't really like spending too much time at, like, a wall where someone's just going to paint over it tomorrow, because it's just...
Yeah, no, I get you. There's quite a quick turnaround of, you know, legal wall space, isn't there? It's like...
Yeah.
Within, like, 4 hours, someone's got, like...
That's what I mean, yeah, I'm not really into that. But at the same rate, don't get me wrong, I'm not out trying to paint, like mad shit all the time either. I do my own thing for me, and most people don't really see what I do, and that's fine. I'm sound with that, but I like painting artwork in for myself in tight places that, you know, it's nice to sit and spend a bit of time, but I do like a nice raw wall background.
I get where you're coming from when it comes. I appreciate where you're coming from when you say, you know, there's everything about graph is about the trains. But there is like and this is maybe from a purist point of view that I'm saying this, because I too love that Style Wars era And there's something that now I can't help but feel is missing on the New York transit systems. Do you know what I mean?
You say that, but then I was in New York like a couple of weeks ago for a show and saw plenty of runners on New
Did
York.
You?
Yeah, man. Stuff.
Stop.
There was a married couple sat at New Lots. I got a flick of that and it was mad. And I was like, fair play, man. Like, it was getting done. There was a whole train done the week we were there and there's some mad stuff was getting done. So it's kind of like...
What does that mean? Like, now this is happening in London as well. So what does this mean? Are they going to enforce some, like, crazy...
I don't know. I saw an interesting interview with the mayor of New York, and he said something along the lines of most of the graph that's painted on the trains in New York is painted by Europeans. Mm. And they see it as, like, was it a Disneyland for travelling Eurovandals, which I thought was a great...
oh, my God, quote. That's crazy.
But, yeah. You know, whatever you want to do, if you want to go there and do that, whatever
it's
you
the Mecca.
Do... But, Yeah, New York's a mecca, man, to go there and to paint. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's if you like New York subways are always a beautiful thing to see pictures of or to have photos of. So, you know, I've always tried to stay away when it comes to illustrations from drawing pictures in New York subways, actually, because they've always been like the one thing where every single person ever has done a New York train and been at. I hadn't been there to do that. I was like, I feel a bit like it's you can't really do it. I know it's the same.
Well, you'd feel like your pieces would be in it unaccomplished as papers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I did them for the show because it was a show in New York for a gallery that's been around for a long time. But that was because that's what I wanted to do for the show. I'd been out to Madrid, seen the Henry Chalfont show exhibition there,
ooh,
and just
but
been blown away
sick.
By
yeah.
all the like crazy old photos of all the old hole cars and stuff, and it just. It blew me away, man. It was just incredible. Mm. So for me, you know, I try and stay away from certain things that are like certain holy grails to people. I guess it's the same with tubes, you know, like I'm not a tube writer, so don't get me wrong, there's quite a few photos of tubes drawings on my thing, but they're because dudes who have smashed them say, can you do this for me? And it's like, yeah, that's cool. Utmost respect for you guys. Mm. But I try to stay away from certain things because people, you know, if you're painting one thing or another, like people get a bit upset about it, and that's grand. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes with that sort of thing. Like, you know, commuters, freights, all that malarkey. That's different. But tubes, they're like sacred to certain people, and I don't want to. You know, that's not my thing. So I was trying to stay away from that. But
you know, this is only 3-hour conversations beforehand. Like you're a junkie for this shit. You love graph, don't you?
Yeah, like,
you fucking love it.
I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to it. But I'm really into like the history of things and knowing about like I said before, like I'm really into like the old UK history. I probably don't like put that through in my pieces very much. I'm more into like the old New York, but I'm really into like the old London stuff, you know, like these like Cherish and just guys that absolutely smashed it with just beautiful, beautiful stuff. Mm. Like characters, full pieces, like just ridiculous stuff on tubes that just, you know, would still burn halls of fame now, let alone like panels. So,
but loads of those old school cats, like and like, you know, some of the that isn't replicated now. Like some of the early 80s.
No, but it's a different time now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of
you wouldn't go there. You wouldn't like if someone came up to you and said, "Can you replicate something of like early?" I don't know.
It depends what it's for. Like, if it's someone. If it's for an old writer, an old London writer, then don't get me wrong, and there's plenty of dudes that I've done drawings for, like Grand and stuff. You know, the guy is absolute king, out and out. Yeah. Like, and his knowledge of trains puts me to shame, man. Like Grand just is like this knowledge, like an encyclopedia, especially of London Underground, man. Like, unreal.
Really?
So it's kind of like...
Well, does he quote-unquote train spot? Does he know his trains like that?
Yeah. I mean, if you know Grand, then you know he is the master of knowledge when it comes to some of the underground.
No, I've heard stories.
You just need to chat to him about that.
I'd
but
love
honestly,
to, yeah.
Like,
hear that, Grand.
When it comes to certain things, if people ask me to draw something, I might message him and be like, dude, yeah, what's the score with this thing? And he'll tell me like little stories about stuff. And it's just, it blows my mind, like, honestly. Like,
does that happen? So you hit up people like, what happened in this particular part of the train when I'm drawing
I put on little like flicks on my story of something I'm working on, and someone will message me and be like, I know where that is. And it happens with all the time with different trains in different places. But if it's a London one, I put up a little flick, like, within reason, Ground will be like, I know where that is. And they'll tell me a mad story about it. And I'm like, that's crazy. Mate, fair play. Like,
I now understand why you are so respected within your art pieces. It's because they are literally, people recognise where it is from the old school.
I try to, so all the UK spots, if it's a spot where I know where it is, then within reason, I won't make paint it exactly correct because I like the sort of, I like to the essence of it rather than just the exact spot. Unless someone's gone, right, this is a flick I want you to work from. And, you know, I don't want to say who's on my story that are from actual photos or whatever, because that's the anonymity of it. But, but like some of them are from actual photos that people sent me and gone, right, I want this in this spot. And I look at it, I'm like, oh, I know where that is. I know where that is. And then there'll be things in the picture that sort of give it away if you know what it is. But I guess, like, that's part of the geekery, do you know what I mean? Like,
love that.
Just sitting, like, every time I come up to London or anywhere I go in the world, I'll sit and take photos of all the trains, graph or no graph on them. Photos of the insides, everything, like, and it's just...
Favourite train?
Slam Doors.
The 98s, kind of the ones that were on the Network South East.
Yeah, Network South East, like, that was my line growing up before it was Network... Southwest trains, like, before that, like, Network South East Slam Doors with the little, like, the four carriage or the first class and the
three.
It's
very Thatcherism, isn't it? Kind of like
that. Oh, they were wicked, like, the clunkiness when they used to come in the points when you come through, like, before you get into Waterloo, and it was just, you'd be bouncing about all over the place. Even, like, up on Waterloo East, they used to have them without the doors, so the carriages, you couldn't even walk through. They were just, like, each individual carriage was individual. And being a little terror on them back in the day, you could do all the stupid shit, like throw the lights out of the window and all that malarkey. So.
We've all watched Terror Fabulous. You know that
even
scene?
Before them guys, just all that back in the day, like that was fun and just being that little like nightmare. But yeah, now I'm a
lot of fun.
Sits and draws them instead.
Well, no, but it's good. That's good. I mean, like you say, then things have moved on, and you're now in that sweet spot where you're able to do both things at once and not be too caught up in the lifestyle.
Adult responsibilities, like, for me, I just love drawing, and that's what I want to spend all my time doing. If I get a chance to go out and paint, you know, then that's so be it. But nowadays I like just sitting in my studio, and met a lad the other day, and he was like, oh yeah, you just do this and that, and it's like, yeah man, like I'm an old man, like I'm never trying to claim to be king of this or that, and I'm certainly not. I'm just a guy that likes drawing trains, and it when people who are up smashing it now are getting contact, and the guys who smashed it 30 years ago are getting contact. That's cool, and it's just like I love hearing all these stories of what they turn and it influences into my drawings, and I like that to filter through. I just like to know stories about stuff and try and draw that and as best I can to do justice to the dude who are doing that now, you know.
That's fine. Listen, to have you on and to get a little more insight into the mind of Vents is fucking awesome. Like, this is what this is about, because until we have a conversation, until someone conversates with you, you only see what's on the page, which to credit a lot of people prefer. But the fact that you're here and you're telling people so openly about your tastes, your influences, your techniques, it's fucking gold dust, bro.
Man, I get sent stuff all the time, and someone's like, oh, someone's drawn this with a character on the train. You're like, mate, cool, go for it. Like, learn. Like, I used to go to spots and take photos of graph when I first started writing. I didn't meet any writers for, like, a couple of years when I first started, because I didn't know anyone, didn't know how you did this stuff. Yeah. Like, I worked in Halfords back in the day, so I'd have cans, and that was the one, you know? And it was kind of... But, like, go to spots,
of course you
and
did.
I'd look at things, and I'd photograph pieces up close and be like, how have I done that? Like, what have I done? To, like, I didn't know how you did stuff. Mm. Like, I remember going to, like, Rough Trade in London... underneath Slam City, and I got like graffitism from there. I think that was in 99.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, shit, there's like magazines on this stuff, and that's mad. And
bro, we were definitely ballooning around the same part of towns numerous weekends. Well, I have no doubt.
Tower Records and stuff. Yeah. You used to go in there and you'd be like stickers on the back where you'd like everyone would be getting the mags from.
Yeah. And Borders as well. You go into Borders and they had like a whole graphs. Thing. Yeah, like, that graphicisms from day.
That's mad. Like I remember I went to like my sixth form and they had Subway art in there, and I was like, wow, this is mental. There's a whole book on this, like a Thames and Hudson, like actual book.
Yeah.
But then I looked at it, and because it was like that sort of era, and I was like, this is all really loose and scrappy. Like all the stuff I'm photographing is like super clean. Like what are these guys doing? It took a little while to look at it and be like,
yeah, that's sick.
Because I wasn't in the sort of era of the 80s where writers are seeing that stuff and blowing their minds. Like graph was already like massively established. So I'm looking at kind of like places and seeing like full productions and stuff, and everything's like clean cut and crispy, and I'm looking at this old book with all these crazy old trains in it going, well, okay, they painted the trains in New York, but like this is like super loose, and just not understanding it, and it took a while for that to sink in, and then you're like, ah, okay, yeah, fair enough, man, like that's what it's about. Like
it's funny how that technological switch that only recently has come with the crazy different palettes and paints and caps and blah, blah, blah. And for a long time, you know, I guess it was when Lumit came about and the whole Montana, you know, revolution, shall we say. I'd watch, like, Style Wars and, like, all the usual candidates. You get the extra DVD as well where they talk, the
20 years later or whatever.
Yeah, totally, and they're talking about their time, you know. And at the time of watching it when this whole, like, era was kicking off, I'd be like, man, they got a lot to say about their style, but like these guys are doing some new shit now. Like, but only now has it come full circle, and you only, for me as a punter, really understands the value of how fucking hard that was using those paints,
shit. It's unreal. Like,
no idea, especially at fuck, you know.
You see the stuff that they produced and the way they did it and the. Not only that, but the conditions they were in, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't just like you look back at somewhere like New York in the sort of 70s and it was a fucking lawless, wild place, man. Yeah. Like when I was in New York chatting to some of these old guys and just the stories they're telling you, and you're like, mate, this is mental. Like I grew up in like the little suburbs outside London and
head blown.
There's no ghettos where I'm from, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's none of that, and it's just kind of, you look at this and the sort of, when I was a kid, and you'd be like, oh, the boys would be like, oh, you want to go and paint in London? And like, we used to come up and skate at PlayStation, and then you'd go and sort of peer into places like the pit and that, and you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to leave here without any trainers, aren't I? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whereas that's about as bad as it got, whereas the stuff these guys, they had, it was just incredible. And you think now, and you read all these stories, like you read like Fuzzwan's book, and the mad shit that these kids went through at like 11 and 12, and it's just like, that's another world, man. Yeah. But without them doing that, we wouldn't have this, you know.
Yeah.
I guess now it's like hip hop or whatever. It's just like a $1 million industry. There's so much like commercialism, and I can't complain to that because I work just painting, and without, you know, without these kids doing what they did and laying it down as that, then you know that I wouldn't have a job now. Even if I still painted graph, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
No,
it's popularised, and
it is popularised, and I think technology's helped fuel that. Instagram. I know we're talking very personal about our art, and like, you know, it doesn't always have to go up, but with the awakening of like technology being so rife and the opportunity for fucking graph shops and shit, it's amazing. It's like,
yeah, it's mad. Like,
it's back in the public eye almost, isn't it?
That's the thing. Like, it's kind of, I started before the internet, and like I said, I didn't meet any writers, didn't know any writers, didn't know anything about graph, and kind of now it's like, yeah, you've got the Instagram and all this, and you know, I don't have any other social media, but you know, people whinge about it and stuff, or you know, it's either a good or a bad thing. It's like Marmite, isn't it? You love it, you hate it, but without the internet, like I wouldn't be talking to writers in Sydney, to writers in like to America, and writers in South Africa. Like these dudes, you know, get to chat to them, and it's like, yeah, okay, it's easy for kids to hook up and stuff, but so what, man? Like, embrace that. This is just the modern age of like photo trading. It's a little bit more instant, should I say? And yeah, so it's nice to have zines or photos of stuff, and you can, you know, like I look back at old graph mags from the 90s and stuff, and I look at them and I'm like, I could tell you what's on every page and every little photo, whereas now I might see 500 photos in half an hour and probably not remember any of them.
Yeah.
But at the same rate, without that, I wouldn't see a lot of things. I wouldn't get to talk to all these people that some of the dudes I was talking to the other day, like, just incredible, like, guys who just blow me away, just absolute kings, and I'm talking to them, and they're sending me messages going, oh, yeah, I really like this drawing, man, I'm really digging this, and you're like, are you kidding? Like, why am I talking to these people? And that's cool. For me, as, like, a little kid from just outside London, like, I just draw pictures of trains, you know, I'm not out doing mad shit as it is, you know what I mean? I'm just doing my own little thing, and people are loving it, and, you know, that's cool. If you don't like it, grand, no problem either, but it just blows me away that, without the internet, I suppose
I wouldn't have known paint. You. I wouldn't have. You know what I mean? Like, this is.
Yeah, that's something. I'd still be doing it. I'd still paint. I'd still be out doing what I do, and I'd still be sitting in the studio drawing what I draw. But no one would really know, and I wouldn't be able to reach out to those guys because most of the time it's those dudes send me messages, not the other way around. Like, but then I'm like a little fanboy, and someone sends me a message from. You know, I'm like, well, really? You want to get in contact with me, and you want one of my drawings? Man, that's wicked. Like,
yeah, that's fine.
But then that's thanks to the internet. Like, yeah. I'd still be doing it for me if I didn't put it online. Like I say, I do all this stuff and I don't put half it online, and I still do that for me. And one day maybe I'll make a book with some bits in it that you won't see. But
yeah, whatever. You better heard it at first. That's exclusive. We're doing events book. It is happening.
There's some stuff in the pipeline actually soon, but
that's great.
I don't want to go into that at the moment because it's still in the works. But
it's too early days.
Cool stuff coming.
Too early days. Basingstoke originally.
No, just outside Basingstoke. But yeah, that area.
That area.
Yeah, southwest of London.
Mum and Dad still together?
My old man passed away about 15 years ago now, so 14, 15 years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah, he was the biggest influence, like I say, in getting me into trains. Like, so, madness.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I guess I kind of like to put that forward a little bit, like the detail and stuff that he went into with his photography kind of really instilled this, like, love and passion to me, so that's kind of what I try and put forward now, and put what I'm doing forward to the next generation.
Bro, you and Zerk should get on like a house on fire. Like, he's a mad photographer. He's like so sick with it, and he only does deals in film. Like, he's got the same knowledge of trains and all that as you. You're into punk and rap. It's just, for me, it's like you're into zines and comics, and he's into like
it's a mad
that's
thing.
Mad.
Like everyone says, you know, that. The writing crosses over like all borders in terms of, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or, you know, black or white or, you know, whatever you're into, like, you'll paint and you'll get on with other writers. But actually, even the most diverse of backgrounds, we're all actually kind of into the same little things. Yeah. And even if you're like, it's mad when you meet writers and you're like, oh, actually, yeah, you're into this or you're into that. And it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be into half the things I was into if it wasn't for painting. And you meet certain dudes like, you say, like, that Zerks, and what you were saying before, like, it's so sick, like, that he's into like, all those things. And all the dudes you've interviewed as well are all into certain things that everyone else goes, oh, yeah, actually, that's pretty sick, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's blown my mind, bro.
You get into more subcultures from one subculture, and that's incredible. And I think deep down, we've all got, like, a little bit of love for certain things. And my just OCD and geek loving of, like, trains has made me this, like, stupid character that likes to draw pictures of them now, and it's like, how did I know as a kid, like, photographing them that would be what I'd be doing as an older?
Who'd have thunk it, huh?
Exactly that, man, exactly that.
Thunk it. Well, on that note, because I had you here before for a long enough time, sorry about that.
Oh, man, it's grand.
Technology, you know, only in the Killer Keller podcast do we deal with, circuitry problems, yeah? Problems with the circuitry. Sellotape and nail varnish glue fix everything, kids.
Yeah, loading wheel on the Mac is the one that does everyone in these days.
Oh, the wheel of death. Oh, my God. Look, without further ado, thank you so much, brother, for passing through.
Thank you so much as well.
Bristol crew.
That one.
Go on.
We've done the old, like, rabbit dance and go, he plays it out. Stupid mask, can't see anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what it is, Killer Keller Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, all right? Do not sleep. I repeat, do not sleep on my repeat. Vents, hold tight.
Mate, thank you.
There we go. Stay lucky, people. Killer Keller Podcast. We act like it was out of fashion, all right? Peace.
Peace.